Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and we're continuing on in a message I've entitled The Preparation of the Priesthood. We've been looking at seven verses in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and this was a very specific ministry of the Lord to the high priest at that time. And this was a vision that Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, had received for him. And yet we are looking at this in spiritual application to our lives because God is preparing us. We are kings and priests unto our God. We've been washed with the blood of Jesus. This is our present as well as future destiny. From the minute we're saved, we can sing the praises of God. What's a priest? They minister to the Lord in worship as well as intercession for the people of God in terms of prayer or sacrifices in terms of the Old Testament. And as a king, we have the commission to preach the gospel, to speak as a royal ambassador, if you will. We will truly come into a position of ruling and reigning with Him when Jesus returns. So we have a divine calling, beloved, and what we see is Joshua, who was the high priest, no position higher than that, Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him, and he was not fit for the priesthood. I mean, he had filthy garments on him. And so why was he unclean? Well, because of perhaps personal sin in his own life. He was symbolic, representative of what had happened to the priesthood at that time. Remember, they'd been 70 years in Babylon. So just as a New Testament reference, we look, you know, the epistles that Paul wrote were written to the churches of his day. And just look at the epistle of Paul to the Galatians. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? And he said, This would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, that is just the way of man. That's the religious spirit. We want to do something to earn our salvation. Of course, we know in the case of the Galatians, Judaizers had come trying to put them again under the law so they would not have that liberty in Christ. In the chapter 1, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is the important thing we need to hear. We need to love the Word of God. We need to know and read and study the Word of God. Just don't be satisfied listening to preaching, either in your own church or through internet or radio or wherever, and you must validate it, use discernment and wisdom in terms of, does it line up with the Word of God? He said, it's another gospel, and there's so much apostasy today, so much out there. The enemy, he comes as an angel of light. Know that this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And as never before, Satan is doing all that he can to bring deception, to bring division within the body of Christ. So he says, this is another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen to this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That is strong language. And he repeats himself. He rarely does this verbatim. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Pretty powerful, strong words. So, the point is, this Satan who stood at the right hand of Joshua, just as he does for us, he does everything he can to resist, to hinder him. And so why was Joshua unfit? Well, because he had allowed the advances of the enemy in whatever ways, and remember also he was symbolic too of God's people, of the priesthood at that time. Satan, just as for him, as for us, he's always standing by to resist any efforts that might be made for our deliverance from uncleanness, disobedience, salvation from our own unfitness for the work of the Lord. He's pleased with your stained garments, the stains of sin, and he's a standing enemy to the transforming grace of God. Remember, God is bringing forth a church without spot, stain, or wrinkle. So, number one, he had an adversary, just like we do. He was like a brand in the fire. That's verse 2. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And what I believe that refers to his flesh nature, true for all of us, that actual word brand by Webster, it means a charred piece of wood, a firebrand, like a burning piece of wood. And it is, if you try to pick up, as I shared, what was it, a couple broadcasts ago about my wood stove, if, you know, there's a piece of wood that's not burned, it's really yucky to pick up because it's, your hands will get totally black from the charred wood, the charcoal that's on there. So a brand is a fit subject for the fire. Fire, like sin, usually has small beginnings. You know, by one man, sin entered into the world, and all the human race, as the children of Adam and Eve, have become defiled. We are born with that, quote, original sin. And a man whose character has become filthy in the light of God, and we do this by our own choice, by our own sinfulness, by our own backsliding, we then become a fit subject for the blackening and consuming power of sin. Hear what James has to say in the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. He talks about the tongue in this particular case. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. And so it is, in one couple verses down, it's full of deadly poison. And if any man can bridle his tongue, the same is a perfect man. And so, beloved, we are, our very own sin nature, which will be fully done away with. You know, we are always, John said, let no man say he's without sin. We that's what we strive for. That's our goal. But we all fall short of the glory. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from sin and all unrighteousness. And so, he's a fit subject for the fire. And just like a piece of wood, you know, as James said, if we're a brand, we're pretty helpless in the fire. We got there and we can't do much to get us out. And so the Lord, just like the Lord, is he not a brand plucked out of the fire? Thank God our Lord, our dear Father, reaches out no matter what mess we get ourselves in, no matter what kind of sinful surroundings we may be in, or the corruption of our own heart, our willfulness, our rebellion against the Lord. The Bible is full of, look at even godly David, a man after God's own heart. He look what he did. He was a murderer and an adulterer because what? He was indulging his own will, not the will of God. And so would none of us, except for God's grace, can we stand. And so, but even though Joshua may be helpless, the Lord took him out of the fire. And in a historical sense, this phrase could refer to Israel having been saved out of Babylon, the Babylonian captivity, or perhaps it could have recalled God's merciful deliverance from Egypt, where Israel's oppression was likened to a furnace. There's a scripture, Deuteronomy 4:20, but the Lord hath taken you, he's speaking to Israel, this is Moses speaking, and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. And so, he was being resisted by Satan. He was in terms of his condition at that point, he was a brand in the fire, and he had filthy garments. Well, of course, that would be the case if you were in the fire. And God has given us a robe of righteousness, and we can get that sullied if we turn aside in rebellion and self-centeredness and self-will. That would be the case of one who escaped from the fire. Garments would be awful dirty. Just as said, you pick up that charred piece of wood in a stove or in a campfire, and not with a fire burning, of course, your hands are going to get filthy. But these dirty clothes that are on him signifies the iniquity of the people, not only his own, but the people against which Joshua is helpless. Again, that's the place of the priest to pray, not only for himself, but for others. You know, the priest had to offer sacrifice for their own sins before they could go in behalf of the people to the Lord. So the garment represents the outward and visible expression of our character, his character, ours as well, okay, if you please. And when our outward life, our acts, our words, our deeds condemn our profession, then our garments are unclean and we become unfit for holy service. Remember what James said in 1:27, pure religion and undefiled, clean, spotless, right, before God is to keep himself, oh, there we go, unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. And well, my time has just flown by, and we're going to be looking at how he gets delivered. Joshua didn't do anything. All he was doing was standing. And that's sometimes that's all we need to do is just keep standing, and God will do the rest. It is him working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He perfects that which concerns you. Praise God. So many scriptures I can share with you, but I pray you're hearing with the ears of the Spirit the thing what God has for you. Amen. Be encouraged. He loves you. Well, as I bring this broadcast to a close, as always, I invite you to write. I will pray for you personally. You may be struggling with some things. You may have some severe hindrances of Satan, just as Joshua did, that was preventing him from moving on. Joshua had to be cleansed. The devil had to be dealt with. And so allow me the privilege of standing with you in prayer. The announcer will give our contact information. And as I bring this broadcast to a close, know, I hope you can hear how much I do love and care for you. I pray for you every day, my UCM family, as well as my radio family. Some of you listened a long time, you've never written, but I pray for you nonetheless. I invite you to write. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.